We live, we love, we serve. I want to lift up a scripture today, and I thank God for the move of the Holy Spirit already in this place on today. But in light of our theme and in light of what has been happening, still going on in LA, I want to lift up a scripture today from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew 5. And I want to lift one verse, but verse 45, but only a portion of that verse. Matthew 5, verse 45. And here's what would be the second clause of this scripture says. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Read that again. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Come on, beloved, let's pray. Lord, in the midst of what at times seems unimaginable and challenging and painful, there is something that grounds us. And it is knowing through all that we could ever encounter, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, that you are still the same God. God, thank you for in difficult moments helping us to see our way through. Thank you for helping us, oh God, at times to navigate our way through treacherous emotional terrain. Thank you, God, for reminding us that this journey is never a solo one, for you are with us every step of the way. And for that, we are grateful. God, where there are broken hearts this morning, mend the brokenness. Where there is heaviness this morning, ease the burden. And where there is sadness today, remind us that we already have unspeakable joy. We love you, Lord. Now, O God, in this moment, through your word, have your way. Have your way, O God. Have your way. And we'll be sure to give you all the honor and the glory, because you and you alone are worthy. We love you, God. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me read that again in your hearing. Matthew 5, verse 45, just the secondary clause. And it reads like this. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you take your seat. We saw this week, and unfortunately are still seeing, what has been for many an unimaginable tragedy in Los Angeles. Last week, when the fires began and seemingly were engulfing places and spaces that had not been the normal trajectory of many of these wildfires in LA, some of us from here began to reach out and contact some of our FCBC LA members and to see how they were doing. and words that were constantly being repeated to me. Words like, I've never seen anything like this. Or words like devastation and tragic were just constantly being repeated in that moment. If you have any sense of humanity at all, it was hard to see people on television, many in tears and overcome with emotion, because those people, some of them, had lost everything. Not just the homes, but things that were in those homes that maintained memories and history. The tears that you saw, the pain you heard in voices, people who had lost homes they had been in 40 years and 50 years. It was difficult to watch. And I, like many people, found myself at different moments being overcome with emotion. But then, because of this, again, the cultural moment we're in, what almost became sickening to some degree is on social media, where tons of people trying to launch conspiracies about why this happened. People were agonizing over all the different reasons they think that these fires happened, and some people thought that this was an act of God connected to the movies and the Golden Globe Awards. There was a lot being said. And I realized that those things that were being said, trying to find out why it happens, does not help one bit for those who are trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces of their lives and move on. There's something within us, and we actually touched on this on Tuesday night. There is something within us that always not only needs to know, but if there's the absence of explanation, will create reasons that things happen. There were people I saw on social media who began to take a spiritual analysis of it. You know, God is speaking. And I took issue with that too, because the truth is, when is God not speaking? God is always speaking. God doesn't just speak in tragedy. He speaks in the dark and the sun, the daytime and the night. There were things like, well, God must be angry. Well, I don't know if God is petty like many of us, but I do know what Jesus has revealed in the scripture and through scripture about the God we've come to know through Jesus. Let me pause for a second right there. You see, there are many ways that people come to know God. There are many ways that people come to establish their understanding of God. But for me as a disciple, the way I come to understand God, who, by the way, let me make clear, is mystery. Man, I think maybe that's the problem some of us had. This is why we have to concoct these ideas and these and all these mechanisms to somehow give the appearance or the feeling that we know how to understand and fully control that which is mysterious. I said this week at TNT, our words are always symbolic. Whatever you use, is some of us, even right now, you may be fanning the fan, and then you ask somebody or an usher or a Sunday Love member to pass you a fan, they'll pass you a fan. And the reason why they'll pass you that fan is because you and that individual that you asked for a fan have a shared understanding of the meaning of that thing you're swinging right now. The word you use for fan doesn't really get to the essence of what that thing is made of, but so that you don't have to explain the depth of that thing you're swinging, you just simply say it's a fan. In other words, the word that you create to represent that thing is not the thing itself, it's just the word you use to represent the thing. Which means then that your word is symbolic. That word fan doesn't really describe fully the thing you're doing this with right now, but it makes you feel comfortable, especially when there's agreed upon meaning to the symbolic words that we use. Oh, this may be a little heavy this morning. So why did I say all that? Let me come back to where I was trying to get to. That when you say God, know that that is a word constructed by human beings to represent something that you can't fully ascertain, nor can you fully comprehend. But you're just using the word God so that we can all agree upon some shared meaning. But we must understand that the word itself is always symbolic, because how do you capture with three letters the enormity and mystery of God? All words are symbolic. That is why sometimes I have a problem with people who start saying that if you don't say it like this or believe it like this, then you're not saved, you're not a Christian. You mean to tell me you're measuring my connection to God and the efficacy of my faith by how I use symbols that you like? Oh, you'll get this in a second. These are all words, but they're all symbols. I did an exercise Tuesday night. I asked people on the roads. I had a pencil in my hand. I said, what's this? They were a pencil, pencil. They were like, what's this, pencil? I said, well, that's what you call it. But this is a composition of wood and rubber and lead. And we've agreed that this word is pencil. But I said, like, is a pencil really a pencil? If you know how back in the days we used to get our pencils, and the pencil then it wasn't sharp and you bought it in a pack and then it was just that flat top. You know, you could never write with that flat top, right? You just had it. It was a pencil, but it was unusable. Yeah. Oh, God. It was unusable. And so the way it became usable, that you had to sharpen it, because you can't use a pencil that's not really sharpened. So back in the days before we got fancy with our pencil sharpeners, somebody would get a knife and start cutting away on the pencil. And so the more, watch this, the more you cut away, the more usable it is. You ain't even got this yet. So you sitting here today talking about God use me, but you don't want none of this part right here. You don't want that part. You want the usability, but not the sharpening. Oh man, that's letting some folk know that we're always gonna go through some things that's connected to our humanity. It's part of our journey. But the thing is that when we encounter moments like this past week, everybody groans and tries to figure it out. And then we hear some of the worst theological statements you could ever imagine, because here we are trying to make sense of things that are happening, natural disasters in some way. It doesn't matter whether someone started or not, because a person who lost their home, whether it was started or natural experience, they still have no home left. But the issue is, we always try to explain some things, and most of all, we try to connect it to something that's off. I remember when Hurricane Katrina happened many years ago, there were people saying, you know what, that's because of the sins of New Orleans and all the living there. Like, New Orleans, the only city that got sin in it. Like these simplistic explanations for complicated realities, because we refuse to accept the mystery. I'm gonna say it again. These simplistic explanations for complicated realities, because we refuse to accept the mystery of it all. Here's what I really want to leave you with and share this morning. That through Jesus's teachings, we get a glimpse into what may be some aspect of the ways of God. Some glimpse, some aspect. This is why I often get in arguments with people who want to argue me about theological stuff. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've had a lot of challenges in my life to the things I teach, and that never bothers me, because you shouldn't be a teacher if you're not up for the challenge. But you shouldn't challenge if you ain't up for the teacher. And here's what I discovered through Jesus. that it may be that we have this thing all wrong. Why do we have it all wrong? Because we have a tendency to mix what we learn through about God through the teachings of Jesus with what we carry on as our own kind of social cultural understandings disconnected. You see, here's the thing about love revolutionary. Here's the thing about tragedy. It's that, you know, as Jesus teaches about love, love is really not like situational. You don't necessarily, you're not necessarily a love revolutionary if you're situationally loving. That your love has to be transcendent and not conditional. Oh, it's the part that gets difficult. Here we are, tragedy happens, things happen bad in our lives, and immediately we start asking some of the wrong questions. Something happens that becomes inexplicable, and we start talking about why God did this happen. And wanting a satisfactory answer. Why did this happen? Why does that happen? You can ask these questions ad nauseum. And when we don't hear the response we think we need, we then manufacture theories and theologies that make us feel comfortable about the mystery. Things like was said in times of old, well, God is angry, it's crying, God is raining, God is crying, it's thunder, the devil beating his wife. This stuff we said. I ain't even know the devil was married. But all this stuff we hear, all because we can't handle the mystery of it, all because we want answers to make us feel safe. Oh, safe. That's what it is. Life is filled with danger, is it not? Life is filled with not only danger, but unexpected interruption and disruption, is it not? Life is filled with all these things, and sometimes we wish that it wasn't filled with tragedy, it wasn't filled with heartache, it wasn't filled with interruption, disruption. We just want life to move along and everything be great, but that's not really life. Do you understand that the seasons change? That things grow and then they wither? They wither and then they die. That's the nature of life. When people pass away, I want to let you know that's not punishment. That's called life. No one will live forever. We will all leave this place. I know we can't handle that because we want to act as though we're going to be 20 all of our lives. But that's not real. That we will pass from this place. And then in the old days, we want to create all these reasons for why people die. Well, this person ain't saved. But wait a minute. I've seen the quote-unquote saved and unsaved die at the same time. Well, this person don't know the Lord. Wait a minute. You mean my knowledge of God can prevent death? All of a sudden, you know, if they had gotten prayed up, this wouldn't have happened. Oh, so you consistent in your prayer life. This is part of the journey of life. We try to find reasons for pain and suffering, right? Not realizing that pain and suffering is par for the course. You want to dodge pain and suffering, but then talk about he died for me. Wait a minute. The way the story tells it, it was unspeakable suffering and beating and then crucifixion. That's pretty painful. And my God, if he wasn't immune from the pain of life, how then all of a sudden we think in his name we can escape it? Jesus here in Matthew 5 hits us with the reality that we may have read but never really internalized. It's painful for those of us who would want to believe that our church attendance creates an immunity system. Or because we were baptized, we got a special force field that surrounds us, that keeps all harm, hurt, and danger away. Or when things happen, we wonder, what in the world is going on? Notice we only ask that question when something bad happens. When something good happens, you don't walk around talking about, what in the world is going on? I can't believe, God, I need an explanation why this breakthrough came my way. I'm tired of this, God. Tell me why I'm blessed. We don't do that. But as soon as something happens, we disregard all the prior blessings and we want answers. What's going on? Well, let me bust some of y'all bubble who think somehow that being a believer and a Christian means somehow you better than other people. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, because some of us came into this thing thinking that it would make us better than other people. Okay. Here's Jesus, and he says these words. The sun rises on the good and the evil, and it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. I love the images Jesus uses. Sun is life. Water is life. They give life. They preserve life. They sustain life. And Jesus said that God makes it rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That the sun rises on those who feel they are good and those who feel they are evil, or whom you deem as evil. And with those two little lines, all of your conditional theology and love gets turned upside down. Now you need to look at, if you ever want to take a gander at verse 44, he talks about loving your enemies. And then he shifts here to 45, so that you will be like your Father in heaven. Why? He said, because the sun rises on those who are evil, those who are good. It rains on those who are just and unjust. And what bothers us, if we're really honest, is because we can't handle the grace of God and the love of God. It is a love that seemingly has no limits. It is a grace that we wish we could control. I know there are days you get up in the morning and you walk around and in your mind you want the sun to only shine on you. But can I tell you something? Your enemy's got that same sun too. Can I tell you something else? The folk you don't like got that same sun too. Can I tell you something else? The people you can't stand got that same sun too. And oh my God, when the rain comes, there's not a special place where those who are saved get the rain. Everybody experiences what God. So when you sing a song, by the way, he always supplies. My God, you may be singing for the folk who don't trust in God as well, because they've experienced God supplying as well. This is what's hard for us to understand. Life will happen. Tragedy will come. But it is God's love and grace that covers us. Hallelujah. I hope we get this today, because there's too much bad theology out there and too much bootleg theologians who got a platform on TikTok or Instagram, and all of a sudden they read a half a book and now they got a century worth of knowledge. No. Everybody who got a platform ain't an expert. I need to help you understand. Because I've seen million people follow an ignorant person. No. When it comes to this thing, thank God for God's grace. And thank God for God's love. Stop
trying to, I already said last week, you can't curse folk that God already blessed. So stop wishing bad for people and stop wanting the worst for people and then you want the best for you. That don't even move in alignment with Jesus' teachings. Stop trying to put somebody in hell and you sitting around with gasoline drawers on. You throwing stones and your house made of glass. How about when crisis hits, instead of trying to explain how or why, find ways to be of service. Let people know you for that. It's amazing how things happen. This morning I was driving in the car and this particular song, two songs came on back to back. I said, God, you playing with me this morning. It was too much. You know, that song, Dante, what is it? Protection around me. That's all. Whom shall I? Angel armies. Oh, God. So that came on. I was done. Toast. I was feeling a little heavy this morning. And then that song went off and I was about to, you know, run it back. And then another song came on. Something was being said. And then it came on my friend, Moret Brown Clark, singing her voice, Angels Watching Over Me. Those two songs came on. And I told Reverend Keith, go ahead and give me a tissue, please, out that glove compartment. And I was sitting there wiping my eyes. It was coming. And then the horn blows next to me. I rolled out my window. He was like, man, bless you. He said, keep doing what you're doing. He said, serve the people. That was it. Out of nowhere. In that moment, he connected what I did to serving. And I was like, God, as I drove off, I was like, thank you. Because there are many ways he could have identified me this morning. But he identified me as a servant. You understand? What does it mean when people identify you with the best of who you are and not the worst? I'll be honest with you. I didn't really know, Reverend Alicia, you know, where I was going to go with this morning. That happens most Sundays. But this week, I'm going to leave this with y'all. Because we celebrated, we shouted. I want you to hear this. One of our members in L.A. lost his home and everything in it. Hadn't even been in the house 2 years. Lost everything. I went to check on him. And he didn't answer the phone. I sent him a text. I was a little concerned about the folk who didn't respond to the text right away. Everybody did. And then he texted me this. These are the words from someone who just lost their home and everything in that house. Sometimes we get upset. Well, let me be honest. We will kill somebody arguing over a place in line at a deli. We will shoot people over a petty indiscretion. He said, thanks so much, Pastor Mike. We truly appreciate you checking in. It means everything to us. We evacuated yesterday. We are heartbroken for LA. The fire may have taken our property and memories, but it will never destroy our resolve and optimism. We will rebuild stronger. Y'all ready for this? He said, we serve a living God. If you think that's something, the last line. He said, and we woke up this morning. Now see? house gone, clothes gone, memories destroyed, but we woke up this morning in our right mind, made our way down to church, and you needed a pep rally to rejoice. No, somebody said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, we got a reason to celebrate today. We woke up this morning. Tell somebody else, I woke up this morning. Millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. You sitting around trying to figure things out? No, celebrate. We woke up this morning. You are here. And it may not be perfect, but you're present. Oh, God. You're here. You're here. You are here. Last night could have been hellish, but you're here. You are here. You could lose everything, but if you're here, it means you can start over. You ever had people walk away from you? And you sat there devastated, torn apart, crying. And you forgot there's a whole bunch of other people around here. It rains on the just and the unjust, the righteous, the unrighteous. The sun rises on those who you think are good and those who you think are evil. That means that God's grace and love is unconditional. That's why in that verse before what I read, he said, love your enemies. And now I'm going to say, you know, I ain't the only one that's challenging for. But when I take comfort in Alicia, he didn't say, be all up in your enemy's face. I'm glad that that ain't the requirement. He said, love them. Love them. You know why? Life is too short. Watch this. To go to bed angry. Life is too short to go to bed with an attitude. We got church family members who lost a loved one yesterday, and I'm sure that's not the only family. Life is short to sit around here with an attitude. And no, I can sit here and count 10 things that have gone wrong in the past year or two. I can name them. But my God, I woke up this morning. Not to face a new mess, but for the possibility of new joy. When I read that text, man, I jumped out my seat and I said, God, forgive me for the times when I was ungrateful. Forgive me for those moments I got upset because I didn't get my way. Forgive me for those times I got angry because my plan didn't work out. I woke up this morning. That is all we really need to remember. Some of us got up a little slower than we used to. I'm a witness. I'm part of that crowd that it takes about a couple of minutes to actually get up straight after you get up. How many of y'all know what this is in the morning right here? It takes you a minute to get up here, you. But I would take this every day if it meant I could still breathe one more time. I woke up this morning. And every now and again, you need these reminders that as bad as it may seem, never let the bad that's happening become who you are. It's a happening. It's not permanent. It is passing. It's not here to stay. In the time frame, we don't always know how long things will last. But when it gets real bad and your anxiety is real high, and your autonomic nervous system is out of whack, and you there shaking and you feel anxious and you and the tears even start coming, I woke up this morning. And because of that, God, I bless your name. I'm here. And for while it lasts, God, thank you for the angel armies. And while it lasts, thank you for the encampments around me. I know there's going to come an end day, but while I got it, God, I bless your name. I know it won't last forever, but while I experience it, it was cold this week. I mean, it was brick. But my God, I felt it. You missed that. You missed that. You missed that. I was shaking one day in the car, but I was shaking. You missed that. I woke up this morning. Come on, stand on your feet, beloved. I wanted to just help some of us pump the brakes a little bit. When we try and explain all these things that happen. You know what? I am so glad, Mary, that God doesn't show preferential treatment. Never understood when the saints back in the days, the saints say, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. You know, what that mean? No, God doesn't show preference. Why? The sun rises on the good and the evil. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Every day, even when you don't recognize it, you're part of the crew that calls themselves blessed. Why? Watch this. I woke up this morning. Boy, y'all better leave here with that in your mouth today. Somebody asked you, why are you feeling so good? Was church good? Well, yeah. Was the music? Well, yeah. Did you have it with the sermon? Well, yeah. Why do you have so much joy? I woke up this morning. Because the truth is, Mary, you should do your best dance in the morning. Your best shout in the morning. Your best praise in the morning. when we get up, eyes crusty, congested, get up tired from sleeping, head cold, headache, all these things. And you gotta say, God, I bless your name. Because my first stress gotta be my best stress to God. God, thank you. Yeah, that back is aching. That sciatica is kicking. The migraines is intense. But oh, I woke up this morning. It's called this, beloved, being grateful. Grateful. Come on, let's talk to God. God, thank you. God, there was a time in many of our lives where we thought that a testimony could always and only was something big that we could attribute to you. But God, what's bigger than waking up? What's bigger than that? Nothing. Nothing. So God, we will let gratitude be a part of our daily work. Because Lord, we don't want to leave here without gratitude. Because the truth is, God, we've said it time and time again. When you begin to think of all the reasons that, beloved, that you are grateful, how can it not give birth to joy? And if every day you're grateful and if every day you experience joy, you'll never leave this place disgruntled. Mm-mm. Sickness may come, but it will not get my last word. The diagnosis may be bad, but that diagnosis won't get my best words. No. Thank you, God. Thank you. I thank you for the life I've already lived. And I thank you for the life I'm living right now. It ain't perfect. It's not everything I would want. It's not everything I would want to see. But my God, I woke up this morning. And for that, oh God, I bless your name. And God, just one thing. Continue to pour into us that the way you love us is the way we love one another. Unconditional. You hold nothing back from us, oh God. And with our dying breaths, we will live. We will love. We will serve. Thank you for the opportunity. We love you, God. We honor you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. We say amen. Amen.